All right, now
a woman.
It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And speaking of women, in the other studio we have Cynthia and Ann. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're very likable.
Yes, and speaking of women, we've got the boss, Janet Manco.
Good morning. I'm glad you didn't say nasty.
She's likable, too.
Yes, very likable.
You're all likable. I'm the only one who relishes in my inner...
Jill relishes
okay.
being...
Okay. You should run for president.
I'm a woman.
She beat
right?
up. She beat up the good witch Glinda.
Okay, here we go. I didn't.
All right.
I just contained her.
That's right. It is time for a look at the paper, and yes, there's lots of green in the paper.
There certainly is. Coming up.
You can't do that. Forget about it.
I know. I do the worst accents. Yes, we're coming up on corned beef and cabbage season, and of course, St. Patrick's Day is March 17th, the day that we honor Patrick Sullivan. Our beloved reporter.
St. Patrick of the Lakeville Journal, right.
And Marshall and I, of course, are in the same wavelength on the coming of spring, which we're both like, we'll see spring in May,
see spring when it actually gets here.
Yeah.
All right, big snow
still coming.
That's right. We'll start off with a salute to sports, and that is the great run for the Lady Mountaineers. And then you've got the firefighter on the slopes at Mohawk Mountain, the Special Olympics. Was it the Penguin Plunge? The Penguin Plunge that raised like $70,000?
Yeah, so the Lady Mountaineers, I'm not going to call them the Lady Mountaineers. They're Mountaineers. The women's basketball team at Housatonic Valley Regional High School.
You can't even call them Mountainettes.
Yeah, no, because you know what? They rock.
Uh-oh,
and
I'm
they're
in
one
trouble.
Of the,
me too.
They're a really good team over at that high school, regardless of gender. And they did a great job this season and finally lost in the state tournament to Trinity last Tuesday. But we're so proud of them. And when you see the photos that Tom Brown has been taking of them, through the postseason. Unbelievable, the ferocity and determination on the faces of these athletes.
All right, congratulations to them and all the athletes at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, as a matter of fact, and all the students, as a matter of fact.
That's right, and the hockey team, too, who did a phenomenal job this year.
All right.
And Bernie Drew did the funny headline on the other sports and in less conventional sports news. So and of course, we have those on the inside, but the... Every year, Mohawk Mountain invites the firefighters to come in their turnout gear and ski down the mountain holding on to a hose. And several teams came out, and we have some nice pictures of that from Tom Brown. And Little Scrappy, I think it was Middletown, was the winner this year.
Right.
So
it was
on page 10. Let me see. The winner was
Morris. Morris. All right. As we continue on looking at the front page, students adapt to a new grade system. What I really like is, I read down further in the story, Strever said that this year's 9th and 10th grade students are familiar with the NYP system, which accounts for far fewer NYP grades in some of the areas. Some seniors who are taking courses they do not need for graduation have NYP grades. And I laugh because when I was a senior, we had credits. You had the total amount of credits you needed to pass.
Right.
I had mine. So, I mean, like senior year was like industrial arts. I did all this typing.
Well, you know, that takes some strategic thinking on the part of the student to be able to look ahead 4 years and kind of say, like, let me just get everything out of the way and to do that and just knuckle down. And then a lot, you know, there are students who maybe are not thinking or have, for whatever reasons, not been able to organize their schedules over the course of the 4 years like that and are, you know, struggling through really hard courses in their senior year where their classmates are being pranky.
Yes. All right.
We'll see if there's a big prank this year. Sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't.
All right. There'll be a prank, but it's a question of how big.
Let's just hope it doesn't involve Abe Lincoln.
Oh, I don't think that anybody would do that now that he's in class. A simpler way to tell what kind of tree it is. I like this story.
Patrick was surprised that there was a huge turnout for this talk, but I was not. Because I think everybody's wandering around here. People seem to love to hike, like Ann Day, and are walking through the woods. And what else is there to do while you're walking through the woods than to go like, that's a pretty tree. I wonder what it is. So I think we all know the basic maple and oak if we've lived here for more than a year. But it was and usually when I look at tree identification books, they give me no information. They're like the bark and the this and the that, and I can never figure it out. So this is a talk by a guy who's got a different system that looks more at the top up and kind of says, here's an easier way to look at trees.
I've just never been good. When I worked, when I ran WHVW, I was sitting in the front office once, and there was a big green thing that we had. And somebody said to me,
you know, that's a tree, right?
what's the name of that plant? And I looked at her, so I said, Mitchell.
Percy.
No idea. Wrong
Audrey.
Person.
That's
right. Because my dad's system, he's always like, what kind of flower is that? It's yellow. It's a yellow flower.
All right. And this is a story that... That's a great story that you follow each year, and that is the Student Achievement Awards that are done. This year, Me Too has struck women in every position.
Yes. Yeah, so it used to be, I feel like it wasn't that long ago that they had a boy and a girl from each school.
That's right.
But there have been cutbacks in the awards, and so there's only one award given each year. And I don't think it comes as a huge surprise to people that there are some really, in addition to there being some outstanding female athletes in the region, there are also some really outstanding female academics, and often they are both. And we have some really wonderful women on our schools page from the 8th grade schools in the Region 1 School District and also two from the high school. And so we'll talk about those when we get to them, too.
All right, and we'll move on to Nature's Notebook, Shimmering Prisms and Portents.
This is kind of interesting, and even Tim Abbott, who's such a nature watcher, said he'd never seen these sun dogs before, and he describes what they are. They're essentially like, they're almost like a rainbow in the sense that they're this sort of mystical environmental thing that happens and is quite beautiful. So he explains how to recognize them and what causes them. And I guess they're fairly rare, because if Tim's never seen one, you know, that means they don't happen that much.
All right, let's move on to the inside end.
To baby animals.
Well, I was going to say, pets know best, or animals know best, because right. You've got owls, you've got otters, and a baby goat.
Baby goat. And so we're waiting for we're waiting for some photos from Elvia Genu at Weetog Farm, which Ande alerted me to. They had their first new babies born, I think, last week. And so Elvia, who takes fantastic photos, we'll send some in of her new babies. And we were over at Housatonic yesterday, and their babies are due much later, I think closer to May. But as we know, the Lakeville Journal does love to run those baby animals on A1. So keep
all right, and right below those animals, Rip Van Winkle opens tonight and runs into the weekend at the Burgess Auditorium, named after a former chairman
of the
Board of Education.
But not the first.
Back in '09.
Right. No, in the 30s, right? And the and one of the I learned he was not the first chairman of the board. That was
no.
Sam Eddy.
Yeah.
Because somebody had sent us in a notice and saying, well, something's happening in the Brown Auditorium. And I said to Marshall, what's the Brown? Like, I actually asked a bunch of people, and everybody said, there's no Brown Auditorium. It's called the Burgess Auditorium.
Burgess, yeah.
Although the person who said it sticks by that and says, no, it's always called the Brown Auditorium. But Rip Van Winkle, written by Michael Berkeley, who is so loved and respected and has done a phenomenal job with these students. If you've ever seen a Housatonic Valley Regional, Housatonic Musical Theater Society show, they're fantastic. They're so lively, and the kids are really into it. And Michael has a gift for figuring out what the hidden skill is of each child and bringing it out. So you get these beautiful young high school girls who are great dancers, and beautiful young high school boys who are great dancers, and they're singers, and they're funny, and he just like recognizes what their talent is, and he brings it out. So this is a play that he wrote, a musical that he wrote.
Yeah, it's something that's the play he's been working on for longer than Rip Van Winkle slept. He's been working on it for over 20 years.
And it's regionally appropriate, of course, to the Hudson Valley.
Yeah.
And a beautiful photo of Hope Fitting, Janet's daughter's really close friend, and who's recently married to the very handsome...
Mike Fitting's daughter.
Diverse
Mike.
Right.
Fitting's
daughter.
Mike and Mindy Fitting's daughter. And we all said, they said they're going on a honeymoon, but they're living in Oahu, Hawaii. So it's like, where are they going on their honeymoon?
Cleveland, yeah. Yeah.
Probably someplace Pittsburgh. Where they're skiing.
Yeah.
Right.
You're right. Yeah. I know Hope. No, she won't do that.
All right. And a story out of Cornwall. Stop sign replaces a yield on the 45-7 corridor.
And so that's actually an important story, because whether or not you even know where Cornwall is, you're probably going to run through that 45-7 corner, actually where Janet and I were just yesterday. And that's on the road down toward Kent, and it leads you up toward Warren and the new Warren General Store, which we also visited yesterday, this beautiful little coffee and sandwich shop. But so there's always been a yield sign there, I believe, as you're coming down the hill toward Route 7. So that's going to become a full stop now.
All right. Nice picture of the Housatonic Youth Service Bureau Executive Director.
Yes, and actually a nice picture of Roberta Willis, who has we haven't seen as much of her lately. So this is, you know, this is in the new world that we're living in, which is very young children go to workshops at school, after school, to learn how to code, which, of course, is going to be the essential skill for young people moving forward into the not-too-distant future. So they had an activity where they were building apps for local nonprofits under the guidance of the Youth Service Bureau.
Salisbury budget's up at first look. The selectman budget, 5.8%.
Yeah, that's actually pretty high. And I would say most of the budgets this year seem to be either flat or quite low. So that's one of the larger ones. And I think that they will be dropping that a little bit. And I would say my general sense, we're still collecting the grand list, but my general sense is that the grand lists are down in most towns. And the way that they calculate the grand list, of course, is by the value of the real estate. And so that means that the real estate prices are dropping, which is which means that your taxes should go down. No, they should go up because there's less. Yeah, don't ask me math questions. Your taxes are going to go up, but it also means it's a good time to to be looking for real estate if you're trying to get that first time house. When the grand list drops, that means that real estate prices are down. So it means it may be a moment when you can get a foothold in there.
All right, and the Kent sidewalk vote is May 31st.
Yes, and so this has been a very contentious issue in town. But as we know from Falls Village, it makes a big difference when you have a nice sidewalk, especially in a town like Kent, which is a big attractor for people from out of town. So there's been a lot of conflict among the board members about it. Bruce Adams, for selectman, is saying, hey, we've got this grant money and we've just retired some bonds. This is a good time to do it, and we really need to do it. Somebody's going to trip and fall, and there's going to be a lawsuit. So May 31st is going to be the vote, and we'll see how it turns out.
All right. In North Canaan, there was garbage on the agenda and also enticing new businesses.
Right. And so that has nothing to do. Well, I guess in a sense it does have something to do with garbage because, of course, if you're a business, you have to pay your tipping fees. And, of course, everybody's being hit by the fact that the tipping fees are increasing. Many of our towns, I believe Salisbury, Sharon, doesn't create enough garbage to really be impacted by it, which should also apply to North Canaan. But they're also looking at ways to make it more attractive to start businesses. You know, it's as Marshall Miles knows, it's tough to find a business in this area that people really need. People in New England tend to be very, don't shop that much or go to the big box stores and really get everything at discount. So it'll be interesting to see if they can find some interesting businesses that people really need in our little towns.
Shoe repair.
But you know what? When I moved up here, I was like, how can there be no shoe repair? But you realize that nobody up here wears high heels. And they never need to get their taps replaced.
Just high heels. Yeah. Anything with a leather sole needs to be fixed.
Yeah. And the place in Torrington closed down. All that's left is the one in Great Barrington.
When Jake came back from the military, he was still in the Army, he needed a boot repaired. He had to go to Torrington to find a boot shop that would repair it.
Yeah, and that place is closed now.
And now it's closed.
Now you have to go to Great Barrington.
Go to Bagel. Go to Great Barrington.
Okay. Now, this is a story that's a lot of fun. I met Fred Newman once many, many years ago. He was the sound effects man, and what a great job when you think back to when they used to be on every week with Prairie Home Companion, and he's going to be in Cornwall.
And not just doing sound effects. He does, I think, what they call is Foley. In movies where you use some other thing to make a sound, like he's talking about putting birdseed on a piece of iron to make the sound of rain. But he also, when he can't find an object to make the noise, he makes it with his mouth. And apparently he's incredibly, it's like one of those kids, that in third grade, the teacher's always yelling at them for making funny noises with their mouth, and then they go on and make a career out of it.
So in the Foley business, which is quite well paid, thank you all very much.
Well, good. And so he's sharing, he's giving back to our community. And so Deb Alexinas did a review, not only of him, but of the show that's coming up by the Town Hall Players, which are in revival now, of Vintage Hitchcock. And she makes it sound so much fun that I think that I will have to go. It's next weekend, March 22, 23, and 24. And, it's a two-act stage play based on The Lodger and one of my all-time favorite stories, The 39 Steps, which was written by John Buchan and made into a movie by Alfred Hitchcock.
Okay, a couple of stories. First of all, Maple Fest is this weekend and at the Sharon Audubon, and then next weekend, big fundraiser for the Jane Lloyd Fund.
If you've never seen the Harlem Line, they are so good. And actually, if you haven't seen them lately, I saw them at the Wasaic Project a few months ago. They're so great. I mean, they have this woman who sings who just knocks your socks off. And the band is super tight, and they're fun, and everybody gets up and dances, and it's a really good time. And, of course, the Jane Lloyd Fund, helping people who have cancer to pay their daily living expenses, a very important local philanthropy. And then Maple Fest. So as we all know who live in New England, the ideal conditions for creating maple syrup are it has to be very cold at night and very warm and sunny during the day. So it's been about 17 at night and in the 40s during the day and extremely sunny. So there should be ample maple sap flowing through. And it's a really, really fun time. And when you walk out of the sugar shack, your hair will smell like sugar. And what better way to spend time on a Sunday than to be in a building called a sugar shack? Oh. So I highly recommend.
Now
go
I want to go on to your health page because I just started dry needling. The other day.
And I saw you there. I didn't realize you were getting the dry needling.
Absolutely.
Everybody
amazing.
Is at Gear right now. Everybody, like if you go to Gear PT, they should have a coffee by there. Right. Every single person I know is there.
But the dry needling is absolutely amazing. I actually saw effects after the first session.
Yeah. It's great. And Mike Mancini does it, and James, the other therapist, does it. And it sounds horrible, but
it's not.
And I've only, like, actually yesterday was the first time I ever felt any pain from it. It doesn't, you don't really feel it. It feels kind of cool. But you definitely feel some relief. It it reprograms your brain. The article explains how.
All right. Toast and tea very quickly.
Yes, my sick bed. The flu is still going around. It seems to have peaked again last week.
All right, I love the picture.
Thank you. It's with an iPhone.
A little bit of marijuana for
yes.
patients.
Yeah. And more information on marijuana in our upcoming health and wellness.
All right. Now, we only have about 4 minutes left, okay. So we have to get to the opinion page right now.
Sorry.
And a police investigation should be open to the public.
That's right. This is Sunshine Week. And so do read this editorial to see what is happening statewide right now. There is a bill that is pending in the legislature, which would change the regulations on how police reveal information. And so do give this a read and take a look at that bill and encourage our legislators to vote against it.
And lots of letters, actually, this week as well.
Yes, we have from the 21st Century Fund. We have a couple of letters thanking the Interlaken for support, Dave Beiersdorfer, and we have Nancy Heggie Martin, who... we have photos from their Code for a Cause event, and she's thanking the people involved with that. And we have Denise George, the interim president for Sharon Hospital, talking about what the hospital will be doing for the community on a continuing basis. And an interesting one from Harvey Rosen and Sharon about
yes.
the Green Book, and that there was a listing in Sharon in the 61 to 64 Green Book, which he actually said he picked up at the New York Historical Society. And so if anybody has further information on that, we'd love to hear more about it.
All right. And Carol Asher, Matt Gordon, and Lynn Gaffney. Lynn's on co-housing.
That's right. In important pieces, Carol is writing about immigration, but this is a volunteer's view from Tijuana. She interviewed Abby Nathanson, who has been spending time at the border and helping people through the process and as a volunteer, and it's fascinating. It's a two-part series, and this is the first. Mac Gordon is talking about bottled water, and Lynn Gaffney, co-housing for sustainable living. A lot of information.
All right. With the 2.5 minutes we have, I want to move on to Ann. We've got to get to you with your...
Yes. We have a fabulous show at the Cornwall Library of an artist called Don Bracken. And first of all, he's a very good painter. But secondly, he paints with dirt. And I think it's just, he discovered it one day standing in a field that he didn't feel that the acrylic paint he was using was really conveying the idea of the earth. So he mixed some dirt in with his paint. And now he's got a whole technique. I bet his canvases weigh about 50 or 60 pounds because they're big paintings. And if you think about that being all dirt, it's heavy. But they're beautiful, and you should go see the show. He also works with ash. He had a studio in the World Trade Center on the 91st floor at one point and was very affected by the tragedy there. So he started using debris and ash. Read the story, because I'm really talking fast. Mm-hmm. There's a film at the Millerton Movie House this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. think it's 6 o'clock on Friday, 6 on Saturday, and Sunday, 1 o'clock, and there's a discussion afterwards with some journalists talking about the meaning of journalists in the age of fake news. It's a biography of Joseph Pulitzer, who is what the Pulitzer Prize is named after. He was a Hungarian immigrant, the owner of newspapers in New York, and really had the great idea. Newspaper stories should be short, smart, and snappy, which I think is we all still believe in.
Except for Jimmy Breslin's.
Mm-hmm. Well, his were smart and snappy.
Yeah, that's right.
And relatively short.
They don't have to be short. Just with smart and snap. Just start with smart and snappy, and then let's go from there, please.
Right. Exactly.
And then I can come out of my containment zone again.
But he aimed to excite in his readers tingling sensation as plentiful as mushrooms. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like a good documentary. It's directed by Oren Rudofsky, who's a weekend resident in Salisbury. I'm going to see it, I think, on Sunday. Then there's we have a art show at the Hunt Library in Falls Village by Kathy Wismar, who is a potter and a painter. So she's got some ceramic pieces and some paintings. And they're very cheerful, bright colors, a way to get yourself in the mood for spring. And we have lots of events in calendar and way more events in calendar online, because I didn't have enough space to do every single event that's happening in the area. So that's all I have for you.
Well,
perfect.
And online, it's tricornernews.com.
That's right, tricornernews.com. Thank you, Marshall.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Okay, see you later.
Take care. That is this week Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio, tricornernews.com, and you also find them on Facebook.